Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminders we receive in your word and in life and in prayer and through others of your unending love. Indeed, all the cries of all humanity come up to you, and you hear, and you are attentive, and we give you thanks. We pray that we would hear what you would have to say to us today, that it would bring life, that it would help us to put to death all that no longer belongs. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We have been treated this week to scenes of a 16-year-old from Sweden passionately scolding the powerful and leaders from around the world on some of the largest public platforms. Being confronted on camera by a composed, well-spoken teenager doesn't seem to me to be the kind of situation that a political leader would welcome. I have enjoyed the political drama and delighted in watching them squirm. Justin Trudeau, what was he to do? Refuse to meet with this young woman? Refuse to argue with her? No, he smiled, shook her hand. Well, she said, "You have not done enough. You are the same as all politicians. One minute you say there's a climate emergency, and the next minute you're building pipelines." And Trudeau could only smile and say, "Thank you very much, you remarkable young person." Now, I am sure that Amos caused a similar reaction in his own day. Few of the elite in Israel's capital city, Samaria, could have enjoyed being visited by a farmer from another country who had come to tell them how things ought to be done. But he was a prophet, a holy man. So what were they to do? Amos traveled to Israel during King Jeroboam II's reign, around 750 BC, the same period as Hosea, that we were reading the last few weeks. It was an unusual period of peace and stability in the region. Assyria, Babylon, Egypt, all those major powers had a lull for several decades, and it allowed the smaller nations to thrive and to do well. And so prosperity was increasing, and security and wealth. But Amos came and bluntly exposed that in the midst of all of this, how the most vulnerable were being treated. Injustice and corruption infected everything that was going on. And he warned them, this cannot last. As I said, Amos was preaching at the same time as Hosea. Hosea focuses more on worship, on international politics, on marriage and fidelity. But Amos narrows his attention down to the impact that wealth and prosperity and a sense of well-being and security, the impact that it was having on how the people of Israel were treating one another and the land. Now, these two things are not separate: religion and economics, spirituality and finances and justice. The problem is that the way people treat spirituality and worship is always intertwined. It is always interconnected with the problems that we have in our neighborhoods, the problems that we have with how our nations behave and our policies at that level. And they're connected to the problems we have in our own lives. And all of these problems, over and over again throughout history, lead to the collapse of nations and to terrible suffering for everyone. So Amos pointed out that there was visible, desperate poverty on the streets and in the courts, in spite of this wealth and the abundance that people had in their own homes. He pointed out that those with power were taking advantage of other people's desperation by paying them the very least they could get away with. "I'll make you work for a pair of slippers." At the same time, they were encouraging the imposition of taxes on those least capable of paying taxes. And then they turned around and inflated prices as much as they could to maximize their profits without concern for how much people could afford. Everything had a price in people's minds in Samaria. Every last bit of land they owned, every marginal piece of land, every forest, every field, every last bit of grain, they would leave nothing behind for charity. They would leave nothing behind for nature itself. They would use all of it to increase their wealth. They prayed bribes to get out of any trouble and took bribes, ensuring that justice was only available to those with wealth and those with means and those with influence. And when they came to the temple, they looked at it as simply as getting the rules completed and being right in their own eyes. They went further and looked at worship as getting in the way of their work, the day of rest as getting in the way of business, and all the time their minds were wheels looking for gain. And through all of this, their hearts were at ease, as we heard Bonnie read, lying on beds, lounging on couches, listening to idle songs. They used their money, their summer home and their winter home, and drinks being brought to them to shut out the suffering of others. They certainly did nothing to try and change the economic system. They did nothing to help. They only increased their own wealth, no matter the cost to others or to their own nation. They ignored all the warnings that their way of life was going to have. That this way of life could not continue. That it was leading inevitably to a massive and horrific collapse. As Amos put it, "You who put afar away the evil day, and yet bring near a reign of violence." So in their hearts they are saying, this security and prosperity, this will never end. Maybe truthfully they were saying, at least in my lifetime, it won't. And yet their very behavior, their very focus on wealth and ease and corruption was speeding the day they expected never to come. Saying it would never happen, but living in a way that brought it closer and closer every day. And though they kept their religious duties, through Amos, God responded, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. The offerings of well-being, your fatted animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will no longer listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Those are the words that Martin Luther King often included in his own sermons and his own calling to the nation to address the practices that would lead to its own destruction. God is watching what we do with our possessions. God is watching how our nation conducts itself with other nations. God is watching how we do business, how we go about our buying and selling day by day. Is the amount that we're willing to pay for something, is all we have in mind our own financial well-being, how much it costs us? Is the cost of something only determined by making the largest amount of money possible? Do we seek to pay people the lowest amount we possibly can? Do we look at our land as only something to be bought and sold? Do we seek to squeeze every last bit of life out of it and use every last corner of it? Do we come to worship and prayer, and yet our minds are turning over our money affairs, our financial affairs, and how we will go about our work the next day. Are we hearing the warning of Amos that our economic system is terribly corrupt and that we cannot go on treating the land as we do? And are we at ease? As evangelical Christians, we are quick to spot demons in other religions. I was raised in an evangelical church that was quick to spot demons in entertainment and art. But perhaps we are not so quick to see the demonic forces at work in our stores, in our businesses, in our marketplaces, in our companies. When God intervenes, it will be on behalf of the most vulnerable. But we can take heart. Notice how God intervenes. It is easy, of course, to read that God, to read Amos and the prophets as if God is reacting with violence and anger and coming only to punish, to get even with people. But a more careful reading of the prophets reveals a God who is desperate to save people from themselves. And so God, to those trapped in sin, God's love and mercy is revealed in warning and correction. To both the oppressed and the oppressor, God surprisingly reaches out in love. God warns the one, it is time to reform your ways, it is time to change. And to the other, God gives hope. Have faith and endure. I will set things right. There is an immediate danger for the oppressor that they will grow increasingly sick and eventually become possessed by the evil in their hearts. In the longer term, the danger is that they will become entirely incompatible with the new world that we know is coming through Jesus Christ. This is the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. This is the future, the picture of God's purposes on earth. And so in the cross, we see that there are ways of life that lead only to death and destruction. The cross is the symbol that there are things that are part of this world that will come to an end and will be no more. But the resurrection is a sign that there is a way of life that continues into eternity, a new heaven and a new earth. And the resurrection, a symbol of that life that will continue on. And so God is preparing all of creation, all people, all nations, for this way of life, a way of life that leads on into eternity. And Amos saw this clearly, and he spoke clearly about these ways that lead only to death, either in the short term or the long term. It is not God's wrath that brings destruction. No, it is only by God's mercy that destruction is constantly held back so that we have a chance to repent and to change. But the day comes again and again throughout history when God finally allows nature to take its course. For those bent on war and violence to be consumed in violence. For those bent on exhausting the earth of its resources to starve and drown. And especially for Amos, for those who amass wealth by taking advantage of others, for those who shut out the suffering of others with their own pleasure, for those who use their influence to direct government and law to their own benefit and to the harm of others, the day will come when they lose everything and become slaves. Not so among you. Those are Jesus' words to us. He gathered his friends and he said, you know how it is in the world. You know how people say this is the way things really are. You can't be an idealist. Jesus says, not so among you. So let us not be at ease. Let us pray. We have in Amos the example of God listening. God showed him a fire that was coming, and Amos cried out, "Lord, have mercy, I beg you, we are so small." And God relented. And then God showed a famine that was coming, and Amos prayed, "Lord, have mercy, we are so weak." And God listened. Let us not be at ease, but let us pray for the people of South Sudan and Sudan and Yemen. Let us pray for Syria. Let us pray for the indigenous peoples across Canada. Lord, have mercy. Let us not be at ease. Let us not be at ease. Let us get rid of all that is in our hearts that belongs to the world that is passing away. Selfishness and self-absorption, greed, only thinking about the bottom line, only being worried about money. Let us not be at ease. Let us not be at ease when we line up in stores to buy and to purchase things. Let us not be at ease if we are managers or business owners. Let us not be at ease if we are in the courts or in government. But let us look to the welfare of everyone and put others first. Not so among us. Let us not be at ease. But let us continue to delight in being the people that we know we have been to one another. A people who share, who bring food to those in need, who pray, who come alongside in grief. Let us continue to do those things as a congregation. As a sign to the world that there is another way of going about business. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that would guide our reflections on how we live, that would guide our reflection on the state of our heart. We pray that you would help us to continue to prepare for the world that is coming. We pray as we follow Jesus that we would not be at ease, but that we would look for ways to serve one another and our world. Give us the words to say that point out both the inevitability of the destruction that will come if we persist in sin, but also words that speak of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, of your Holy Spirit present and renewing all things, Jesus Christ alive and promising to return. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.